You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boomus Rusty, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast now in Pennsylvania, the podcast. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for being here. If you are listening to this and you think, wow, what is going on? Who is this person? What do they look like? What do these guests look like? Well, you can go onto YouTube and you can check that out, or Rumble. But if you're watching the video and you think, ooh, I don't want to look at this guy, but I like his content, and even more, I like his guests, you can go listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. So thank you, everyone, for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. If you want to get a hold of me, rustydiamond.net is where you can find anything you need to know. It has my phone number, it has my email, it has other ways to connect with me. Connect with me, do it. And it's time for me to bring out my special guests, plural, right here and right now. And right here and right now, my special guests are Christina and Herb. Hey, Averett, back again. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Rusty. Thank you for having us
again. Thank you for having us. It was a fun last time, and be fun this time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been I think a few months or so. What's new in the world out there? Out in is it considered the Willamette Valley, or is it kind of off there? Or I don't know. I don't know what you would.
Yeah. We're in Oregon, right in the middle of the Willamette Valley. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. How is it going out over there?
Well, spring has finally sprung, which is a really great thing. We had some gorgeous days yesterday, and today's looking to be another gorgeous day.
Yeah, and it's also becoming more and more and more apparent that parents need to get their kids out of school. And, you know, that vibe that is out there, and more people are starting to recognize and understand that they do need to get their kids out of school and away from the public propaganda system.
Or at least take charge of their child's education and check things out.
Are you just hearing from more and more people? I swear, like, yeah, every day there's more and more people, especially out in Oregon, talking about that, wanting something different. And I mean, yeah, there's just so many ways around it, and so much needs to be changed or at least evaluated. Mm-hmm. I don't even think a lot of stuff has been evaluated for what's going on, and I think that's just like it with a critical eye looking at what's happening and why things are the way they are with it.
Yeah, so many people want the school system to change, but the way the system changes is so slow that if you have kids in school right now, it's not going to change fast enough to actually help your kids. So if you want your kids to actually be educated, to have a decent education, to have a decent shot at life, you're going to need to get them out of public education and find a way to do it yourself. You know, we can help people who are going to be still in public schools, but, you know, right now Even senators in other states are talking about how like less than 30% of students can read at the level. And in public schools, there is as soon as they get left behind, they're still just promoted grade level to grade level to grade level, and they're never given an opportunity to catch up. So if you do have a kid that's actually succeeding in public school, congratulations, you're one of the few. And if you're not, you really need to consider pulling them out of out of public school so that they can get caught up, so that they do have a shot.
Yeah, and I mean it's great for the numbers to push people through, but I mean, yeah, what happens once they get out of school and they're just sort of left to fend for themselves, but yeah, having trouble reading at a level that they should be at. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's really a way to, I mean, and then if the parents do pull them out, I mean, what? Or try something else, because there's the whole thing of them being looked over for 8 hours a day, and how does that part kind of work?
Well, one of the things that parents, I really want parents to think about is that if you have to leave your child in school because of like maybe that you need to go to work or whatever, and we can help around that, but make sure that you're giving the schools the message, I am watching. I am looking for you doing your best every single day, just like I expect my children to do their best every single day. And I will verify that we are on the right track and doing the right thing. We had a podcast guest recently, and she said exactly that. I tell my school district, I trust you, and I'm watching and verifying everything you say and do around my children because I've told you what I expect, what I want. And if you can't, make that accommodation for me and my children, then you need to let me know when that subject or that topic is going to be talked about, and then I will pull my children out for those things. And opt out is a great way of making sure that you're in more control of what your child is being served, given, taught in the public school. They're opt out for certain topics and situations in every single school and every single school district. And then you are asking, how do they work around if they are pulling them out and needing extra help? And there's charter schools, there's co-ops, there's homeschool, there's pods, there's so many different possibilities right now that came around because of COVID. We don't like to talk about that thing, but there's a big silver lining. There are a lot more people who are awake and saying, oh, I can do things a little bit different that's better serves my family and my children.
And one of the things I heard you say is about educating your kids 8 hours a day. And if you have the kids at home, if you're out of that system, that is not how much time a day you are doing the education aspects with your kids. There's 2 or 3 hours a day where they do need to be working on the fundamentals, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic. But then you get to teach them how to clean the house with you. You get to teach them to cook with you. You get to teach them how to work on the car with you. You get to teach them life skills. You get to take them to the store and help you shop and learn budgets so they can start building real world experiences. So homeschool is not brick and mortar replaced at your house.
Correct.
It is incredibly fixable, changeable,
Flexible.
flexible. There we go.
That's
It's
the word you're looking
incredibly
for.
flexible, and you can work around your schedules. It's not an 8 to 5 thing or an 8 to 3 thing like they do with kids at school. And at kids at school, there's so much time where they're just bored and not doing anything, and in a class that's not exciting to them, so they sit there and they're wasting hours. So the school does become a babysitter for a lot of these kids for hours. And if what you're looking for is a babysitter instead of having your kids educated, this is what I said. I go a little harder against the schools than she does, because I watched her teach for 27 years and I watched her get her hands tied. And so even when parents really did want more, sometimes she just wasn't able to provide that. And she had sometimes in her second grade class, there were sometimes 35 second graders in her class, 30 to 35.
Way
And
too many.
the idea that you can individually follow up and do what the parents need, even with your best intentions, even with the best teacher, the administration is against you, and they're going to overload your classroom and make you functional, non-functional. functionally non-functional.
I mean, I remember whatever that was, 20, 30 years ago when I was in school, that there was like, I don't know, I'd have classes, a lot of them had, at least that many kids. And I'd have teachers that didn't know my name after a while. I'd go to the parent teacher conferences and like, I don't know this kid's name. Like, who is this kid? And that's kind of wild. I mean, do you ever, and then do you also have anyone else, like, do you have any parents or school district people that get mad at you or kind of try to discredit you? Does that ever happen? And then what happens with that? Because I think that would be kind of a fun one to try to challenge them. And because I assume they probably have pretty strong thoughts on it, whether it's politically charged because they're within the school district and part of the school district, or parents that just don't even know this is an option and are so just on a single track of this is the only way schooling can be done. Is there stuff like that that happens?
There is every once in a while. Yeah. I mean, there's, definitely teachers who are like, oh, the homeschool is the Wild West. Nobody is being taught anything solid or concrete because nobody has the same curriculum and nobody has the same ideas of what needs to be taught and things like that. So there's definitely those that are just like, oh, it's just too unregulated. It's just too wild out there. And then there, the school district is very much like, well, homeschool is an option, but, there's so many things that you have to do. And basically, they're not telling the whole truth because depending on the state you're in, it could be very low regulation or it could be higher regulation. So you do have to check with your state as far as, what the regulations are for homeschool. But yeah, there's some of that. But something interesting that happened just the other day is that there's actually a group in the homeschool area who are like, well, if you are an educator, there's no way you can know what it's like to homeschool. So I had somebody pop up on me and say, wait a second, you were a 27-year teacher, then you don't understand homeschooling. There's no way that you can be a great guide for a homeschool family because you just know the classroom. And I would really love to get one of those parents or one of those people in front of me and actually have a discussion because if they sat here and listened to exactly what we just said, I don't think it would be the same answer. But again, it's the blinders on both sides of the homeschool parents. Teachers don't understand. There's no way they can do it. And teachers, there's no way homeschoolers can teach because they just don't understand. They don't do it. And we really have to get somewhere in the middle. I mean, that's what my whole thing is about, is that, yeah, I was an educator for 27 years and I have not exactly homeschooled, but do I understand the concept and do I know what I've seen my children through all the years need? Absolutely. And it's exactly what I'm talking about. The flexibility, the teaching the mastery, the family growth and development around being educated together, that is what our families need in this world. And I want to have more discussions about that.
Yeah, and the Wild Wild West is actually in the public classroom.
Right.
Right before Christina left, one of the kindergarten teachers in her school
Yeah.
actually had a kindergartner start swearing at her and yelling at the teacher, the kindergartner, the 6-year-old, 5-year-old.
Oh.
And when they brought the parent in to have a discussion about it, the parent was all like, "Well, what'd you do to piss off my little angel? What did you do that caused her to get mad?" So the Wild West is in public education. You get people that if they want to pretend to be a cat, you have to meow at them. If they want to pretend to be a girl or a boy and they're the opposite, you have to do that. And so these
Right.
things that aren't true, that you these teachers are required now to accommodate that stuff. And so the Wild West, the strange kids aren't coming out of homeschool anymore. The strange kids are coming out of public education. And even if they do enter as a conservative, they're being pushed all of this false garbage. And even then at home, if that's being countered, well, then they're kind of ostracized at school. They're made fun of for having these strange beliefs that a boy can only be a boy and a girl can only be a boy or a girl can only be a girl. And they're the ones who are punished and teased and made to feel uncomfortable because they believe in truthful things instead of the weird propaganda that's being pushed right now.
Right. And so, like, what can, like, where is this gray area? And, like, how is there a gray area? Like, how, I would want to talk to the people kind of on both sides who were, you know, someone that was like you, who was an educator for, you know, 27 years, or someone who was also maybe someone who's here in homeschool for 27 years and is wanting to talk about that. Like, I want to know, like, who, why people are, you know, kind of both ways, and like how you can both get to a point where there's more wanting to put stuff together for people to, you know, I don't know, kind of like find more similarities and what's going good and what can move forward, as opposed to kind of picking every little thing apart and everything that's different about you is not right. I think.
And what I would say to that is that we have to go back to one of the basic tenets of life, is that our children are our future. We need to put our adult perceptions aside and really look at what's best for the children. Let's look at how they grow, how they develop, what they need in their basic life to make them safe and secure so that they can be in a frame of mind to learn and grow. And what we know is that children need security. They need love. They need their basic needs met, of course, food, house, all that kind of stuff. But more than that, they need adults who will share with them and actually listen to them as well, because our kids know a lot and they want to know which way to kind of channel their energies, right? So if we're looking at the best interests of the child and coming at all of this from that, then we've got a lot of the fixes right there, because we know what they need and how to help them grow and develop into beautiful people that will be successful in later life.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily want to plug our podcast, but we have a podcast and we're up to 65 episodes. And we have lots of people come on who talk about educating their kids at home, different ways to talk about it. And not all of them are actually homeschoolers. Some of them do help with people in public education. So we talk about a wide variety of things of how to help the children. Yeah. And so, you know, if you wanted to hear more, you could go there, because it's not just us. You know, there's a lot of people that are backing up our mission and are starting to understand what we're talking about and really get on board and are excited about what we do.
We have brain scientists, nutritionists, communication experts, reading experts, all these different people that we've interviewed and talked, had these open conversations about what's best for the kids, how can families take a step forward in the right direction. And Rusty, this is a little bit strange, but, you know.
Well, you're at the right place.
If somebody wanted to come and maybe kind of like have a moderated debate or a moderated question answer, maybe we could get a three-way going and have that discussion that you were just talking about. Let's talk about it from two different sides.
So, and you like the strange stuff. So one of our recent guests, he's actually an author and he's a reverend, but he also is into Reiki and martial arts and a whole lot of the woo stuff. And he's written 168 books and he's intertwined all of that into whole kids, so that kids can learn and know what it is to breathe, know what it is to move, because so many kids are taken away from the aspects of life that are so much more important: meditation, breathing, you know, how to become centered in yourself, how to understand your emotions. And so this guy has 160 some books that he's written, or 200 books that are all about that. So it's not just, ooh, educate your kids. It's there's so much more to
be a whole person.
How to bring your kids into being a whole being, into being a whole person, instead of just the schooling. And that's one of the things that we try and do at Vibrant Family Education.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would have thought if, you know, that would have been brought up in a school when I was a kid. I mean, I don't think, from everything that I would have been taught up leading up to that, I've been like, oh, what is this? Like, Well, this is ridiculous, but then not, which is a good thing about learning something like that, especially something where it's like, I don't
All right, now
know.
you say that, but we actually, so I was more woo than she was. And so in her classroom the last several years, I brought in several things that helped. So she had a bell that three different chime bells. And when it was the short chime bell, the kids would stand up and take a short breath. When it was a long chime bell, they would stand up and take a long breath. And it randomly went off throughout her class every half an hour to an hour, and the kids absolutely loved it. They would stand up, stop whatever they were doing, move inside, take a deep breath, and then when they came back, they were more centered and they went off learning. I arranged her classroom based on their birth dates in a special way. And if she just randomized her classroom or put, oh, these kids talk and we try and set them up that way, it didn't work well. But if I arranged them by their birthdays, then the classroom functioned better, There's all sorts of these weird little things that I started doing in her classroom to help her. And each time we brought these in, the kids just started thriving more. So we did it a little bit in public education. The kids actually loved it. Kids love yoga. They love stretching. They love moving around. So it's not that weird. And the kids absolutely love it because they start to feel and they're not used to feeling.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot of the breaths randomly. I kind of want to do that on this podcast now and just put that in there and just stop every once in a while and yeah, take a deep breath, or maybe three or whatever sounds good. And yeah, the kids probably love it. They're like, oh, I don't have to think about school for 30 seconds. But then at the same time, they're getting into a more place where they're relaxed and then thus able to take in more information. And if they're, yeah, like, cause, I mean, when you're have all the adrenaline going through you and whatever reasoning or what, you can't take in new information anyway. So being able to stop and
And the
have
brain
that.
science actually backs that up right
Yeah,
now.
the
There
brain
are
science.
brain scientists and brain studies that show that in the middle of working hard to stop for a minute, take a deep breath like that, it changes your brain chemistry for a minute, helps the information settle in, and then when you pick back up, you're more focused and you can learn better. So we did that before the brain stuff came out, and it's like, wow, see, look, we were doing something right. So the woo is becoming more scientific now.
Yeah, I mean, the woo likes having its ups and downs, ebbs and flows of when it's woo, and then it's like, okay, well, actually, this is working out very well. And then, eventually someone's going to come along again and say, oh, this is just rubbish. What is this stuff? And then, it'll go back to, oh, this actually can help a lot of people do a lot of things. And yeah, I'm happy that it's getting to a point where a lot of things like that are starting to become more widely accepted. And I mean, I just have so many core beliefs that I had to let go of that I'm just like, yeah, this is just stupid. Like, what, okay, oh yeah, like, oh, there's the woo person doing their woo stuff. And then you try it, like, oh, okay, yeah, they're on to something. They're doing something right, and I can benefit from this, and I think a lot of other people can too.
Yeah, that's where the homeschool it comes in really hard right now too, is because so many people think, oh, homeschoolers is hard, it's weird, it's no, we have to have our kids in school. And we need to really break people out of that mindset too, because there's so much more healthy things that you can do with your kids than send them to school.
Right. And
And
I mean,
again, but
I
though if you do have to send them to school, there's a lot of healthy things that you
can
can do to
do
make it better for
around
them
it.
while they're there.
So have you had kids who are now adults that went through the system on either side, either as homeschooled or not homeschooled, and like had terrible experiences with either one of those and been able to talk on your show about that?
I'm actually looking for some of those people to come on our show talk. We haven't had a guest that have been able to really talk about that. We've had, a guest that talked about how she homeschooled for a while, figured out it wasn't for her, and then did put her kids back in the public school, but again, with a more critical eye as to what they were learning and stuff. And, that's part of our message as well, is that you're doing what's best for your family and your children. And so if you're getting the proper help and support and it's still not working, it's still not gelling, then absolutely make another better choice for your child. But that's the main thing. Do what's best for your family and your children and your capabilities, making sure you're reaching out, getting the help that you need if you need it. And don't give up. You know, like the parents who like put their kids in soccer for a season, right? And after 2 weeks, they're like, oh, yeah, kids just not liking it at all and just like give up immediately. And it's like, what are you teaching your child? Are you teaching them perseverance? Are you teaching them to give something a good shot before you say, oh, that's not going to work? You know, finish the season and then make the adjustments, right? Exactly. But on the other side, if your kids have been in school and it hasn't been working, you can take them out anytime you want. You don't have to wait until the end of the school year, right? So it's kind of like I don't know, it's not hypocritical, but it's like it's different because if you've been there several years, you can take them out whenever. But if you just start, make sure you give it a good shot.
And we have talked with people, not that have come through our system, but who have been homeschooled and they absolutely loved it. And the confidence which they move with, the ability to talk to other people is so much greater because, you know, right now in schools, the kids are taught to sit down and be quiet and not speak out. And so they are a little more shut down around adults and around individuals because they don't have that. And then these kids that have gone through or were homeschooled are just seem so more vibrant and outgoing right now because they haven't had that experience of being invalidated for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, and so like, yeah, I mean, I for instance, I don't know, like I did so horrible, and like the learning environment wasn't right for me. And then like from middle school all the way up until I graduated high school, my parents kept saying like, if your grades are below what it, whatever it was, I think, you know, I just, it was like, you know, probably all C's or something, just like enough that I can get by, that they were going to have me go to one of the Catholic schools, transfer there, which looking back would have been, you know, probably just as I would have been the same group, just in a different school. And, but I feel like there's just, and then also I was, you know, later on, I was a cook at a Montessori school, and like that was messed up. Like these kids, or the parents, they were paying so much money for, like, they could have gotten like any kind of food they wanted, but like they could have hit, like we could have gotten food cheaper if we would have gotten local stuff from a garden. I would have been happy to cook it, but like the parents wanted, and the, you know, the person running it wanted the food to be like, so just like the food was absolutely disgusting.
No.
It was horrible. And it was all like this. Everything was either you know, thrown in the oven or up on the, you know, like a bunch of like fish sticks, or those pizza things, or like a big old thing of you know, tomato soup, which I burned one time. But and then just tons and tons of ketchup and ranch. And but I mean, the food that they're eating is not going to be helping anyone either. Like that food was absolutely disgusting. And like I can imagine, these are kids that are probably from what, 2 to 8 or so, you know, that like they're getting just crap food. And then I was like a substitute assistant teacher for a while, which whatever that is in public schools. And then watching that go down, like, I mean, I'm glad I stopped when I did, and left that, because if I would have been there a little longer, I think I would have been in a kind of a position sort of similar to you, where I would really need to, you know, mind my P's and Q's a lot more too. And but yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know. I mean, I assume there's people who talk negatively about homeschooling, but I mean, if I would have had an option like that, I would have definitely done that. I would have like But yeah, like my parents were so set on this is the only way you can do things, and this is all there is. And like I remember just begging to drop out when I turned 16, like to get my GED or something, like, and go work, because I was already working, I was already making money. And like I don't know, like, and they're like, nope, you gotta go to school because that's what everyone else does in this town, like, then you go off and go to college, and then I can basically do really shitty in college too and not know
Yeah.
why I'm there.
Yeah, you just brought up two of the biggest mindsets that we talk about as the myths, and one is that all kids have to go through public school.
Yeah.
And the other is that I wouldn't be a good teacher myself because I didn't do well in school. And what I say is you would be a great teacher to teach your kids. One, because you know that that system let you down. You know that that system is broken. So why would you want to put your kids into that broken system? Where then you could work with someone like us who can help you with the basics, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic. We can help you get your kids through that, and then you get to be educating your kids. You were working by 16. You could teach your kids that. They could be watching you, watch what you do, take cues from you. You could pass on your family values. So you're a fabulous teacher because you would be able to follow the kids' interest and get them to learn what they want to learn and grow where they want to grow, instead of being forced into this, I have to do it just like everybody else. You know that's not true. That would have benefited you so tremendously. So it would also benefit your kids. So even if you don't think, oh, I'm not a great person, I wasn't smart enough to get through school, I'm not smart enough to be a teacher. Well, that's where we step in and help with the coaching, with the online curriculums, and then the be able to teach you or work with you to help you make your kids a full kid with getting the education they need with you, because again, you know the system is broke.
Right. And I mean, with just how much there is with just being able to work on something that you are interested about. I mean, but there is a whole, like, you need a well-rounded education of remembering stuff to take a test and forget it immediately, as opposed to, learning something, learning how to, fix stuff on your car, learning how, like, to go grocery shopping, how to pay your bills, how to, somewhat do taxes if enough to get by, and just, or how to, I don't know, just like, yeah, there's so much, like, I would have rather just been able to focus on a couple things, like, but yeah, I have to learn all this other stuff that I don't remember now, and I don't, and most of the books I don't remember reading, or which is sad because, and then, like, I'm like, oh, I was pretty good at reading, but I didn't like reading a lot of the stuff that was in the school. So like I don't like reading. I went a long time without reading much of anything just because I was like, I don't like this. Like, this is all, like,
So if your
yeah.
kids are like really into sports and I don't want to read this book and I don't want to read that book, well, you can get them to reading by start reading sports book, by reading things that are really interesting to them. They still get the words in. You can start teaching them the vocabulary, but they're interested in what they want. Kids who like to dance, there's so much that you can do with dance, with the music, with the mathematics of dance, with, everybody starts with 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's counting, there's math, there's all sorts of these things that people don't think about as ways to get the kids what they need, but following the interests that they have.
Yeah, I mean, which is another thing that's a big mind shift from what we had when we were younger. And it was like, I couldn't imagine even, telling, either my parents now, that this is an option. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what they would say. I mean, I think that'd be interesting now, like, to ask my mom, like, what she would think if I had, what would have been like my path more in life had I gone a different route with schooling, and not just kind of was in this lost
Yeah.
thing until I started doing my own stuff, and like, okay, this is
I think
better now. I love learning.
once you started doing your own stuff, it's like, ooh, how do I do that? And then you would go learn how to do that. Ooh, that leads to this. And ooh, I want to do that now. So you started learning how to learn, loving how to learn because it started filling your interests. Now, if we can do that to children, if we can start teaching children how to learn and follow their interests and bring more in, then we'll get lifetime learners at a much younger age that will learn to mastery and just become more fulfilled as they go. So instead of waiting until they're an adult and having to figure it out, let's give them the tools that they need from an earlier age. And they're not getting that in public education. They're teaching this page on this day, this page on this day, this book on this week. And it's just this really scripted, tight, everybody has to learn the same thing. And everybody's not the same. Everybody's different. And you need to teach your children to their strengths, to their differences, to what they're interested in. Because if you can start teaching them what they're interested in and they can start learning what they need about other things from what they're interested in, then that expands their interests. And then they can just grow for the rest of their life instead of can't wait to get out of school, can't wait to graduate. I'm never going to go reading again. I'm never going to do math
Math
again.
again.
You know, so school becomes this target where I don't ever have to learn anything again. And it should be this that getting a love of it so that, ooh, I can't wait till I get to learn this. And ooh, now I get to learn this.
And one of the
I,
things,
yeah,
sorry.
go ahead.
Oh, one of the things that you were saying about option is that, we have come so far in technology and other things that parents really do have a lot of options, So if you don't want to take on the full homeschool, you can join an online school and, build your life around that flexibility of being in an online school. You still get some help with academics, but you get to have your kids and do things with them, right? There is the co-ops like I was talking about. There is the pod groups where some families hire a teacher and that teacher teaches like five or six kids throughout the year, and they have that more individualized learning because the parents know that maybe they can't do it, but they can hire somebody close by to do it. And there's just so many options now that we didn't have when we were growing up. Basically, there was two options. You went to public school or you stayed at home and did homeschool. That was kind of it. But now there's a full range for that will meet the family need.
And we use blended options. We really help tailor what a parent needs to them. And so, like I said, for the youngers, we have the online option to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic with someone who, a teacher of 27 years who knows that this kid needs to be speaking like this or needs to know this at this age. And so with a teacher who actually understands the education system, or not the education system, but the education needs of the child, then you're not left wondering, oh, am I doing this right? You have a teacher who's like, oh yeah, at this point they need to be able to speak like this. They need to be able to read like this. They need to have this understanding. And if that's lacking, then she can talk to the parents and say, we need to focus more here, and then bring the curriculum back to that area. And so, but then once you get out of the reading and the writing and the arithmetic, you know, the three R's, then you get to start doing the stuff that you want to do, like taking your kids to soup kitchens or to community activities or to sports events. Or, you know, I saw this one child that actually his sister was in a dance class and he was in the back doing Rubik's cubes with this little thing on his computer. And when they were done with the dance class, the kid was going to his Rubik's cube group where they had Rubik's cube things. And
Tournaments,
so the parent was like taking the kids to the different things that they enjoyed doing and expanding their hand-eye coordination, which is fabulous for reading skills and math skills, you know, the dancing for the health. So there are, again, it's so many options that, and again, that's where we really shine and help because we understand a lot of these things. And so many people want their kids in like public school, public sports. Oh, they want to play football. Oh, they want to play basketball. And they don't know that if you're homeschooled, the district that you're schooled in, you can usually send homeschool kids to the school for the sporting and after school activity so they can be in school band, they can be in school sports, even if they're educated at home.
And which yeah, because I mean there's always the kid playing baseball that would be the homeschool kid, and it was It was a weird thing, but then after a while it didn't become a weird thing. But I mean, that was also, 30 years ago probably. But I mean, now it's just now, especially with most every kid that's coming up now had those, year or two or however long it was, a few years back, that they had to go to, some sort of alternative schooling. And I mean, I think that that's, just another way. Like, I don't know, like, it, yeah, I just with how much I've seen it, like, or what it could be, what learning could be, and what it's not. And so what about this? What about people who've had head injuries and stuff like that? Where does that all come in with learning styles and stuff of that? If they're, if they're in the younger part of it or something, and or have different, learning abilities and stuff of that nature.
And that's p another thing that's so beautiful about choosing an alternative education is because if you have a child with a brain injury or a learning disability or major medical issues, that makes their learning have to be different for them. If you're doing it at home or you're doing it with in cooperation with a co-op or a family group or whatever, then that child gets what they need. And an example of that is that one of the students that I was teaching, she had major medical, major, major medical. She had a tube and she couldn't be in school because it's too dangerous for her to get sick and things like that. And when I was teaching with her online, one of the things that happened was that I was able to do more music with her, and she had like five letter sounds and five letter names when I first started with her. But then we started singing the alphabet song and singing the different sounds and doing a lot more with the music. And by the end of the year, she had almost every single letter and sound and was starting to blend words that she wasn't able to do at the beginning. And again, because it was a different setting, I was able to do something different that met her needs, then she was able to progress in a way that other people hadn't been able to see her progress yet. And so, don't think that because your child has special learning needs or your child has a brain injury or something like that you can't do it. Yes, you might need to get some help getting some good ideas to help them learn and grow, but you can also, again, follow their lead. A child with a brain injury might not be able to sit down for very long. Well, they're not going to make it in a classroom because they're expected to sit down a lot. And if you're able to let them walk around the living room and read, because maybe that's the way they focus the best, or sit outside under a tree, as long as they're doing their reading or they're doing their math and they're able to get the fresh air, and that helps relax them. A lot of parents are like, oh, my kid is so anxious and depressed and da 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 da. And it's like, well, the school system, unfortunately, isn't necessarily set up to help them. If they're able to be in a setting where they can relax, guess what? The depression goes away, the anxiety goes away, and they're able to learn and get in what they need. So, yeah. And I
And
don't.
also there's the gifted athlete kind of stuff. So the whole other end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
So let's say they're in motocross and they're just fabulous and at motocross and doing that all of the time. Well, they can't be in school because they're always going to these events all over the place. Well, the homeschooling option, instead of the messed up, I'm here a couple of days, I'm off, and that really
Trying to
screws
catch
up
up
the
on
school
homework
system,
and
being able to educate them yourself with help allows them to keep on track, to keep going, and to excel at school while they're still doing all of their sporting goods and away from home most of the time.
And so another thing that I was going to ask was, so how, like, so is your program, is it a nonprofit? Is it a for-profit?
Yeah, we're still at that
Okay.
stage. Eventually, we want to set up the nonprofit, but that's not happening quite yet.
Right. And yeah, I mean, setting up a nonprofit is a big chore. And yeah,
Okay.
I won't get into that right now, but so yeah, I mean, 'cause then, or being able to have programs for people who might not be able to afford getting help, and being able to have it, more subsidized.
Right. Yeah, we'd like to set up some sort of a scholarship program where people can donate and then we help other families. But we have, again, we haven't quite got to that place either yet.
I assume it's on the horizon somewhere. And yeah, because I mean, it's something that there's just so many people that can benefit. But then you get some people who just might not take it in and just not like I could, yeah, just being so. So I mean, there's so many people who are so ingrained one way of thinking that anything that goes against whatever they're thinking is going to shatter their whole world if they change their thought even a little bit or become more open to something. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. And so I mean, where do you get someone to just like, I don't know, like eventually can you can't like go up and just, or what's your way of figuratively shaking someone some sense into them and say, hey, your kid is getting lost, your kid is screwing up, like this is not good, you need it to, why don't you change this for your kid? What is the way you, I mean, you can do that without only figuratively doing that.
This right here. That's why we are on other people's podcasts. That's why we are trying to get the message out there as much as we can about the possibilities. Because the more all of us kind of talk about it, what if, and ask those questions, that positive growth mindset, what if this was possible? What if this was changed? What if your child was able to do A, B, or C? And just planting those seeds, what I like calling marinating, right? You plant those seeds and kind of let them grow and marinate in the brain. And then sometimes a couple of weeks down the road, they're like, oh, I had this great idea. I could do this with my child. And maybe it was, somebody kind of planted it in and they kind of thought about it. Maybe they got so excited about it that they actually went and did the research about it and said, oh, yeah, this would be a better alternative. So that's how you do it. You have these conversations and you keep talking about it.
And
And
also we do it together because she is Mrs. Hay Averett. She becomes this teacher. She has this very nice way of saying it. And I come out with this harder edge, the out of the box thinking is like, dude, the system is messed up. You need to get your kids out of school. You need to. So I'm kind of more of the rough edge to get people going. And really for entrepreneurs, especially are what we're doing is so important because right now, even in schools and what you're hearing is that capitalism is bad and entrepreneurship is bad. And so children of entrepreneur parents, children of business owners are being told that their parents are bad and awful and that they're the problems with America, where actually the nuclear family and the small business owner is what's keeping America running right now. And so to send their kids to school where they're being told, oh yeah, your parents are the worst, not necessarily your parents, but entrepreneurs, and then they come home, it's like, what are you doing? Well, those people especially need to hear this and get their children out of school because, a lot of them work from home, a lot of them are traveling a lot. Could you imagine as an entrepreneur being able to take your child with you to these meetings, let them seeing what you're doing, let them see how hard you're working, while at the same time educating them with a flexible schedule? So many business owners lose so many hours, critical hours of the day, taking their children to school, going to these meetings, and then when the kids are out of school one day every week, then they're having to scramble and find all of these other things, where as if you just build that routine into your family. So many entrepreneurs are also doing it for their family, but then they're losing their kids. They're losing their family because they spend so much time working on it. So if you start the family development, if you bring your kids home, if you let them see what you're doing, if you let them see your work ethic, if you let them see how to work, and you start including them in all of that, then those family values grow, that your children's confidence grow, your family stays together more. And so I bring that to the table. And like throw that in people's faces. It's like, dude, pay attention. 'Cause one of the things is I was an entrepreneur and we lost one of our children. He won't talk to us anymore. We don't get to see our granddaughter. He ended up falling in with kind of the woke crowd, got pulled away from our family values. And so part of this is a mission of passion because It hurt our family. I'm still crushed inside from losing my son. And so I don't want other families, other people who are working so hard for their families
To
to
lose.
lose it all because they're being forced to listen to all of that stuff in school. So I'm angry still about it. So I have this, you need to get your kids out of school mentality. And she's all like, well, if they have to stay in, here's what you can do. And I'm like, yeah, but get your kids out. So
I temper it a little bit.
together, it's like it's the hammer and the glove kind of a thing. So, we kind of hit both sides of it. And so again, coming onto these podcasts, the two of us together like this, where she keeps tapping me on the legs, like, calm down, stop it. You can't see that because I kind of go off. And so yeah, so it's all of that.
It needs to be. It needs to be. You need to be able to kind of see everything from, so maybe some way, like you're, talking to someone, like being on a podcast, having two people. Not everyone has the same learning style. Not everyone benefits from the same thing. They're not going to hear the same way. Where someone's going to need to hear something more direct, or someone's going to need it a little more coded. Either both are great because both is going to get a lot more people to be open to a new experience.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, also, and when you're going back to this breathing, stopping for breathing, yeah, you're not able to learn new things, and you also are, I mean, your impulsivity of, you're not allowed to You're not allowed. I guess you're not allowed. You're not able to stop and think clearly about everything because it's just all adrenaline, and it's you can't do anything. And then breathing is important, and like there's so much it just needs to be broken down, and which is what you two are doing, are breaking everything down and taking it at its base forms, the fundamentals, the reading, writing, arithmetic. You can do all this other fancy shit, and it doesn't really matter if you can't, read four paragraphs in a row. You can learn how to, I mean, yeah, you gotta know the fundamentals to be able to do a lot of anything. You need to break things down to understand how to build them back up. And I mean, you can keep trying to, like, with the school, like public school, like you can't just try to tweak small things, like you said, or else like it'll be your kids maybe who might see something about it. But in the present time, like it needs a huge overhaul, and like it needs to be very critically looked at and many aspects of the base of it. And then with the, I think it was Rockefeller family that started the, it was the, I'm almost positive it was Rockefeller, that started the public schooling in America, because it's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, can and it takes 12 years to fully indoctrinate someone of those values to be able to get them to be one hell of a worker, one hell of a
I'm
worker
glad you
for
said
them.
that because I didn't have to.
Exactly. Yeah, our school system is definitely set up for a different kind of learning and a different kind of outcome. We were in a place where we wanted those workers who were able to show up and do those kinds of things and be in the but our society has grown so much since then. We have learned to be so different and exploring and everything else that it doesn't work as well as it used to.
And most of those 9 to 5 jobs that you work on
Aren't there anymore
for your rest of
either.
your life, all those factory jobs, all those high paying middle class jobs, they all got taken away. So the schooling to bring those people into those kind of jobs, it's like, You're most kids would actually probably be better off instead of even going to college, going to trade schools or trade skills, because those are $100,000 a year jobs easy right now. How hard is it to find a plumber if something breaks in your house? How, you start having electrical problems. How hard is it to find an electrician? And they're getting, and you pay them a lot of money. So, these kids who are for, who are told, oh yeah, you do this, you go to college, you sit, you learn how to sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. They get out of school and there's no jobs for them. There's nothing them for them to do. And it's their they debt slavery is what it is. And then they end up having to be paid for by the government. And then so then now they have to do and vote the right way, or they'll lose their livelihood of the government paying them not to do anything. It's really depressing.
Right. And oh geez, I had something, but it left.
Oh, there's just too much. It's
Oh,
just, I mean, this could go on
yeah.
for like so many directions.
Well, and it kills the entrepreneurial spirit of, that's like you said, so looked down upon now. And so like a plumber or an electrician, people are paying you to not stay a very long time. They want you in and out as fast as you can. And it's not 8 hours getting to almost hour one. You're like, is it 8 hours yet? This needs to be done because I need to work these 40 hours. Like a plumber is like, people want you out of there fast, and you're on to the next one, and they're happy to see you. People are a lot happier to see a plumber than a lot of people. And plumbers put a lot of smiles on a lot of people's faces. And
Another thing that I would really encourage parents who are doing homeschooling that we do is to, learn the curriculum of the Constitution. There are a lot of Constitution-based curriculums that are age specific. So, most people don't know what it is to be an American anymore. They don't know what their rights are. They don't know what their responsibilities are that go along
there's
with those
12.
rights. And so, part of the problem with our society right now is American citizens don't know what it is to be an American citizen. They don't know what's so great about it. They don't know what they need to do to keep it. And so, that is definitely not taught in schools. So, to be able to start teaching your children about American fundamentalism and or maybe that's not the right word, but American
The
values,
values,
what it is to be, what it is that we're known for. This is the best country that's ever been created. The best form of government is our representative democracy, our republic, because and most people don't even know that, because the word democracy is put across the news so much. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. And so to be able to understand that and the differences is just enormous and so empowering for people. And so, being able to bring that back to our students, to our young people, so they know what they have and what we're in danger of losing right now.
So, I mean, so how are people going to find you? How are they going to hear your podcast? And also, if you guys ever want someone who had some struggles through school to come talk on your show, I'd be happy to do that. Or if you need a facilitator for someone to host talking with someone who whatever we said earlier, I don't off
Yeah,
field, I don't
kind of a
know.
moderator or somebody to
Yep,
kind of
check the tapes. Yeah.
both sides of the story, right?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you can follow me, Christina Hay Averett, on Facebook, but you can also go to vibrantfamilyeducation.com. Vibrantfamilyeducation.com that has all the ways to get a hold of us, our podcast, and everything bringing education home. So please come find us, and we'd love to talk to people about all these different things and help you and your family.
And most of the time, if you do decide to come talk to us about that, you will be talking with her. Because again, I get excited. I actually do have one of those brain damage that you're talking about.
Brain injury, yep.
So yeah, so I have brain injury. So I do sometimes get a little more excited. So when it comes time to actually start working with someone, you're going to be more likely working with her because she's much more calmer. She's much better at getting the actual information out. I'm much more of the visionary and the out of the box thinker. But once you actually start in with the program, then you get Mrs. Hay Averitt, and she's just
Well,
amazing.
thank you.
excellent. Well, thank you both so much, and yeah, great talking with you. And yeah, we'll have to do it again here in a few months or something, and yeah, touch back, and yeah, learn more. And because yeah, I always like being able to let people know that there's other options for how to learn, and it's fucking important. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll talk soon. All right.
Thank
Sounds
you for
good.
having
Thank you
us
for
on.
having
It
us.
was a wonderful time.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. That's Herb and Christina Hay Averitt. So check them out, you guys. I'm telling you. And if you have kids, look into something else besides public school, especially if your kid's having a hard time. If your kid's having a hard time, that shit sucks. That shit sucks. I don't know. Maybe you had a great fucking time in school. I didn't. I didn't. I wish I could have been done. So I wish I could have stopped in middle school, found some other way to do schooling, and yeah, going to a Catholic school isn't going to do it. Homeschooling would have been great. I could have been a good student. I could have been a good student. So you guys learn, keep learning. If you don't learn, learn about why you're not learning, and then you'll learn. So thank you everyone for listening here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. And that is the show, man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.